This is the StreetCast, episode 7.
Yep.
And I'm your host, Brooklyn.
And you got your boy, Spaceballs, over here.
And we're back. Today is Thursday, February 9th, 2012.
Better than ever.
And this is your
official StreetCast podcast.
Of BrooklynKing.com.
Of BrooklynKing.com.
Yes, and... Man, we've had a hiatus, right? A little hiatus.
We've been gone for a little while. We've had. Don't dwell in the past.
It's about quality.
It is about quality.
You know, we don't want to be like McDonald's. You know, just pooping these out. So sometimes if we're preoccupied with life, it's not good to just do it just to do it, I feel.
Yeah.
So we're going to just try to make it good when we come through. But I know having things everyone likes...
consistency.
Yeah, people don't like change.
No, they don't.
So,
but I can't lie. There's a podcast that they're very consistent. Every week they drop a podcast, but certain weeks the podcasts just feel like duds. Like,
yeah,
they just record and just to record it, and I don't think that's cool.
I know, and yeah, I know what that's like too.
So,
but
it is what it is.
We'll see. We'll try. We're trying to, you know. Mix it up a little bit and try to refine what we're doing and all that stuff. So feedback is very important. So I think that's a good way to start out the show, is to be like, you know what? Leave feedback. Like, hit us up in the comments. Send us emails and all that stuff, because we really do listen, and like, it matters to us.
Yep.
So like, if you're thinking something, just take a second and just let us know. There's plenty of contact forms and ways to get it at us.
Right.
So just do that. Definitely would be highly appreciated. And, you know, we want to talk about what you want us to talk about too. So,
and we won't even judge you on your grammar.
I will.
He will. I won't.
Let
it slide.
So yeah, man. So I've been on this whole lately, like, health food thing. Like, I don't even want to say health food, because I don't want people to be like, oh, here we go.
Here's the word you should use.
What?
Lifestyle thing.
That sounds...
Yeah.
Fruity though.
I'm talking about food. I mean,
I was about to have a Riley moment.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Is it just a health food thing?
Okay, this is how it started. I have family members who actually are vegetarians, and they were just like telling me over the Christmas break, like, you know, I have this uncle who has a farm, and he was basically talking about how he had these dogs, and when he would give the dogs a plant diet, like a natural diet with no like meat, the dogs would be normal and calm and stuff. And when he gave the dogs a diet with meat, they would just really like be belligerent and like really nasty and like aggressive.
So we have an uncle.
Right.
And the story is, yes, he fed the dogs chicken specifically.
Okay.
And when the dogs were eating just straight chicken scraps, the dogs were aggressive and they would try to bite him. So he was looking at it, you know, himself as a farmer and someone who understands, you know, experimenting with things. He was like, let me see if I feed them something else, how they'll react. So he started feeding them fish. And in eating just fish scraps, he said the dogs were a lot more passive.
Right.
Then he went back to feeding them chicken again to see if it really was that. And he found that when he started feeding them chicken again, they got aggressive again.
So that had me thinking, wow, that's crazy. And then it just, I mean, and, you know, I think like in my life, when I have these like, some people call it coincidences, but when there's like these repeated themes, I think you should pay attention to those things. So like a friend of mine was telling me about this documentary on Netflix, and it's called Food Inc. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna watch it, you know. So I watched the documentary, and it's basically about the food manufacturing industry in the United States. So it basically talks about how you really only have like three or four companies that produce like 90% of the food, 85 to 90% of the food in the country. They basically produce all of the chicken, all of the meat, most of the products that end up in the grocery store. So, like, when you go to the grocery store and you see all of these brands and, like, all of these, like, products, it's really only, like, six companies making all of it. And all of the you have these small, you have these bigger companies that have smaller subsidiaries that have smaller subsidiaries, but it's really all the same company. Like, you think you have choices, but you really don't.
Right.
That was one thing that was like, oh wow, this is like a Matrix. But then on top of that, the documentary goes into how and why food prices are so cheap. So basically, the government subsidizes these companies. So sometime in the 60s or 50s, in order to compete with other countries, the United States started subsidizing corn production. Because, like, we can produce corn because it's a crop that can grow in the States. So the government started saying, all right, we're going to, like, give you these tax breaks and actually pay you money to keep the corn prices cheap. So you have all of these products that have corn syrup in it. Anyway, I don't want to bore you, but the bottom line is that the meat is produced in ways that if you looked at it, it's disgusting. It's gross. It's like animals sitting in these pens and they're shitting and pooping and they don't move. They're like accelerated growth. They're not eating the things that they would naturally eat.
Right.
They're eating grain, and animals shouldn't eat grain. For example, the beef that you eat, the cows are eating grain and corn, and they should be eating grass. So it's unnatural, and it causes, that's why we have all these E. coli outbreaks, and that's why we have all of these diseases, because the animals are not evolved to digest those types of things in that sort of way, so all these diseases pop up.
Right.
The animals get sickly, and because the animals are all in these big pens, if one gets sick and it poops, it basically can spread to all of the other animals around it, which are tons of animals.
Right.
So it's like you have these mass contaminations, it's bugged out. But I think even if you look at it from a holistic standpoint, why would you want to eat animals that are not... It's kind of like the negativity of it. On a spiritual level, you could say, damn, I want to eat foods that were grown right and people took pride and cared about it. And animals that were not in distress.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that there's a quality of eating foods where the animals weren't in a negative state. I think that all has to do with all of it. And, you know, they have these scientists that show, like, the cancer, the proliferation of cancer in our society, and, like, autism and all this stuff can be linked to the meat consumption because of the way the harsh conditions that these animals are in that causes these diseases to, like, generate and proliferate in our bodies because of all of these things. So anyway, watch Food Inc. It's on Netflix, and like it'll make you really, like, second guess a lot of the things that we eat and, like, our whole process on food, and, like, it's bugged out, man.
Yeah, I mean, just to touch on the topic quickly, like, since I came back from, you know, that same conversation had created a change in myself, I stopped eating meat, and I've been eating seafood, and I did have wings during the Super Bowl, so I'm not gonna say I did. I had wings during the Super Bowl, but I went right back to not eating meat, like, the next day. I didn't feel like I needed meat, and right. I have to say, like, since I've stopped eating meat, like, just, like, overall digestion is better, like, my energy levels are higher, like, I don't have as much cravings. I'm staying away from fried foods because most of the meat you eat is fried. So
right.
It's like, not really eating that and just making the right choices. Like, I just feel like my energy is a lot better. And it's funny, like, I have a cold right now. And these things aren't necessarily linked, but I feel like I caught this cold the same day I had those damn chicken wings.
Oh, really?
I'm telling you, man.
Yeah. There's another documentary on Netflix, and I'll put the name in the show notes because it's escaping me. But they have these really world-renowned scientists that released this paper, and afterward they got ostracized because of the power of the lobbying power of the meat industry. Basically, they say that they have these studies, and they used this dude was so crazy that he actually linked with one of the top biologists in China, and they did, basically, you had this guy in this leader in China in the 60s who died, and he died of cancer, And while he was dying of cancer, he left it in his will that he wanted all this money to go to this research about cancer in China. So he had these hundreds of millions of dollars to spend. And he basically started this study of, he made them graph cancer. His legacy was for them to use the money to graph cancer in China. So they had all of the provinces, and this is hundreds of millions of people, because this is China. They showed the types of cancer in all of the different places of China, and they basically did a study, and the I think he went to like Princeton or something like that. The scientists from the States used that data in his study, and he showed that when you eat, like eating meat and dairy in your diet accelerated the growth of cancer cells and degenerative cell disease. So the things that would cause cancer to grow, diabetes and all of those things were accelerated when people ate meat and dairy in their diets. And when they ate raw foods and plants, it would have the reverse effect. So if you had cells that were breaking down into cancer or diabetes and all of those other ailments, it would actually repair. It would get in repair mode. So I'm not saying the answer is to like be a veggie or a vegan, but if you balance out the types of meat you eat and eat more organic stuff and kind of up your veggie intake, you could kind of balance out the damage that you're doing to yourself.
Yeah, they're saying a third documentary just real quickly said try to eat like 51% of your meals as raw veggies. So try to keep like a 51%.
Right, exactly.
Raw.
Keep
raw
more veggies than you do meat. Yep.
And I mean, that's key. So
I feel like that's I hate being that type of person to like say some real unrealistic stuff to people. Like, I know where we live and I know like your food options are crazy. When you get out there and you're hungry, you're like,
right,
where are you going to get a really good organic meal from? Right. Like, or where are you going to get like a really great salad or some good grilled veggies? It's hard,
but
so.
Just try yeah. to make it routine.
Yeah.
So
anyway,
this is February.
Yeah.
And you know what February is?
What?
It's not only the second
Valentine's Day.
It's not only the second month of the year.
It's a
and Valentine's
a commercial holiday. President's Day.
But it is also Black History Month.
I'm out for presidents to represent me.
It is also Black History Month.
Is it?
It is Black History Month.
What is Black History Month?
Well, Black History Month is...
I'm hating. I'm looking at him. I'm looking at him like, I'm about to like, totally like, hate. I'm in hate mode.
All right. If I was in school and somebody asked me, what is Black History Month? I would say Black History Month is the second month of the year, February, and it is the month when the history of African Americans and people of African descent are celebrated here in America. Period. And I'll sit down.
And I'd be like Huey.
Clap.
And I'd say Black History Month is the time when corporate companies can have a couple commercials and act like they did enough to balance the imbalances and injustices in our country. You know, I feel like that's what it is though. Like when I hear about Black History Month, I cringe because I feel like it's like a cop out. It's like, okay, instead of working to like, I feel like it's just an excuse to concentrate messages in a month and then feel good the other 11 months of the year for things not being fair and equitable.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
During Black History Month, do you think harder about being black?
No.
No?
Not at all.
Never once?
Mm-mm.
None of the messaging around you gets in your psyche? And
all of the
really
messaging,
analyze?
All of the Black History Month messaging that I see is all coonery to me. It's all like McDonald's is the worst. Because I feel like all their commercials are like uber black. Like, it feel like it's like...
All year. 360 black.
I feel like their commercials are like stereotypes. Like, they always gotta be super hip-hop. Or super R&B. It's never just like a black family. You know what I'm saying? It always has to have like they try too hard to put a cultural undertone to it, either in the language of the actors or the music.
Right.
And I feel like just have color, people of color in your ad. Like,
do regular stuff?
Yeah. Being an American. How about that?
What does that mean, being an American?
Just doing shit that Americans do. Eating too much.
What do black
people... You know, shit like that.
You want to see a bunch of fat people... A bunch of fat people sitting on the couch watching the game.
With oversized drinks and
with McFlurries.
Right.
Wearing sweatpants.
I mean, I'm just saying, like... I don't know. That's why I think that, like...
Last year for Black History Month, every day on Facebook, I posted a quote from an African American person of color. That was my
homage.
That was my to Black History. And I mean, you know, people started to look for it and they expected it. Some people commented on stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. So you know, I tried to keep the dialogue going.
Comments from white people did you get?
I don't remember. Probably none though.
It makes them uneasy.
Yeah,
I saw some stuff on social media about somebody was saying, I don't know, I think it was Twitter, maybe. This one chick was like, Black History Month is reverse racism. It kind of is.
It depends on your definition of racism. If you feel that racism is, you know, one group oppressing another group,
mm-hmm.
you know, you'd have to be in a position to oppress in order to be seen as a racist. And that is one of the definitions. That's not my definition. Definition I've heard. Before you give me that crazy ass look, that's not my definition. The other definition is just, you know,
I see what you're saying. You have to be in a situation to deny someone.
Yeah.
What they should have, but you denied them because of their race.
Right. Right. As opposed to just being like, I don't, one group not liking another group based on stereotypes. Or,
so if I make disparaging remarks about a race right now, even though I have no power over them, is that not racism?
Depending on your definition of racism.
Right. It's all vague.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Mm.
But
I don't know. I just think that clinging on to a month where people, where companies can just think they filled their quota, or if challenged, they could say, oh, we ran, you know, 100 Black History Month spots in the month of February every year. And then like 11 months of the year, they have no black actors in their commercials.
Right.
Like, I feel like that's just an excuse, dude. That's giving them the opportunity to be bullshit most of the time.
Do you think black people buy more stuff during Black History Month? No. From on a consumer level?
No, I don't think it. I don't think it matters.
I don't think it matters either. I don't know.
Mm.
Yeah, Black History. I mean, you know, in school, I always liked Black History Month because it was a time when I like history, period. But it was a time when I got to learn about, you know, people that looked like me and people.
Right.
You know, you got to do your book report on Harriet Tubman or your mm-hmm. George Washington Carver report and your presentation. And I always thought that was cool. Like, that's
right.
Something that
it
I
gave
really
you a little
enjoyed.
Bit of pride.
Yeah, and I think, like, for kids, you know.
It's sad that it's not all the time, though. That's my
point. I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah, the point that it's not all the time. But I think, like, even for kids, it just gives you a chance to, like, touch the surface on your history. And if you're really into it, you'll dive deeper. Mm-hmm. But it just kind of creates, in my opinion, Black History Month creates a forum where people can talk about being black. And it doesn't seem like it like it's frivolous. It's like this, you know, this month we address, you know, what being black is. And, you know, that's what I always like about it. So.
I don't know. I'm not for Black History Month, personally. Because then I feel like we should have Asian History Month.
But I think there is an Asian.
And Spanish History
there
Month.
There are, but they're just not as celebrated as Black History Month. Black History Month was like the first month, I think, that was dedicated to a group. We have Women's History Month, Asian History Month. We have Hispanic Heritage Month. Yeah. So, it is what it is.
So, did you go out and see... I have on a Boondocks t-shirt. Thanks for the shirt, by the way.
Enjoy.
Appreciate it. That was dope. Very nice of you, sir. I love the show, Boondocks. Waiting for the third season. Third season?
You're waiting for the fourth season.
Damn, fourth season. Did they ever release the third season on Blu-ray or DVD?
Yes.
It's on Blu-ray?
It's on DVD, not on Blu-ray.
Oh, they're killing me.
It's good, though.
It is good.
It's excellent.
So Aaron Magruder co-wrote the movie Red Tails.
Right? Correction.
Oh, sorry.
Aaron Magruder co-wrote the screenplay for Red Tails.
Okay.
So the story already existed.
I'm sorry. Before. It's based off a true story. He didn't write the story. He wrote dialogue around the story.
It's based on historical events.
Right. Very important distinction.
Yes.
So, I feel like that, you know, coincides with this whole Black History Month theme because it's the story of the
Tuskegee Airmen. Yeah. Negro pilots in World War II.
Right.
That were sent on missions, originally placed in situations where they weren't given the missions that white pilots were given.
Right.
And eventually proved themselves through battle that they were, you know, soldiers.
So what did you think of the movie?
I thought the movie was horrible.
Why?
I thought there were too many actors that weren't they didn't just come across natural to me in their roles.
Mm.
And I felt like the dialogue had issues. I felt like there were a lot of holes in the story. Like, I felt like, in my opinion, George Lucas tried to create a film that captured, yes, Black history,
mm-hmm.
but that also was safe enough for the studios to want to support.
Right.
And in that process, he lost the true essence of the story of who the Tuskegee Airmen really were and what was going on, what was their situation. Like, a lot of that wasn't exposed in the movie. And because the movie became a half-truth, I feel like the movie lost some of itself. The story lost some of itself.
Wait. What do you mean? What parts do you think would change to be
sensational? So, for instance, like, the thing that the Tuskegee Airmen are, you know, they're known for are also, like, the Tuskegee Experiment, which is the U.S. government infected them with...
Wait. I didn't know that those were the same thing. I thought the Tuskegee Experiment was just on the population in the town in Tuskegee.
It was on soldiers specifically.
Mm.
We may need to just do a quick wiki.
Yeah, I thought it was just in the town.
Yeah, check that out.
Yeah,
I thought it was on the soldiers, but I feel like the film overall, I feel like the storyline was weak. Like the effects were great.
No, the Tuskegee Syphilis Experiment was on the general public. Yeah, it had nothing to do with that.
So I was wrong. Yeah. So I take that back. But the movie was still bad to me. I thought the story was weak. The effects were cool. But I just felt like, I don't know. Like, I felt like it could have gotten deeper. And I mean, granted, you know, for kids, it's a good movie. It gives them a different, you know, it gives them a different perspective. But I didn't think it was a good movie
overall. Yeah, it had some, like, characters in it that were like weird, like Neo.
I was thinking about
his whole character was just coonish to me.
His character was
really over exaggerated, and he shouldn't have been in a movie. Like,
yeah, he played like a very, very southern character, but his accent was horrible. His mannerisms were off.
It was all
bad. And that's what I was saying about like the actors. I feel like they tried to put too many actors in this film in hopes that they could work together as a unit. But mm-hmm. they probably should have just had like one or two leads and then a bunch of like really no-name people.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of...
It's like they casted the whole cast from The Wire.
Yeah.
It had like the whole cast of The Wire on there.
Yeah, it was weird. And Method Man. Method Man on The Wire?
Method Man not... Yes, yeah, he was.
I think he was on The Wire,
He was on
right?
The Wire because he was Cheese.
Right.
Cheese was his character on The Wire. It had literally at least... four actors from The Wire on there.
And Cuba Gooding Jr. and Terrence Howard.
Yeah.
They were the leads. They were the big... It was funny because this is something I recently learned. In Hollywood, it takes about twice the budget of what it costs to make a film in order to market a film.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you make a $20 million film, you're supposed to have $40 million in marketing behind it.
Damn.
Exactly.
And they're spending that on just spots and trailers.
Yep. Spots, publicity, Entertainment Weekly.
Right. Sending yada, yada, setting yada. The actors to every country and doing
right.
all these.
All of that shit.
Right.
So Red Tails had a budget of about, I think, $58 million, something like that. 50-something million George Lucas of his own money put in.
Damn.
So he was shopping the film in order to receive money to market it. You know, the film was ready, was pretty much made. So he was trying to get $100 million, in theory, $100 million to market this film. That's what it would have taken.
Mm-hmm.
No studio wanted to touch it. Hence, there was a lot of, like, word of mouth, especially amongst the black community about this film. Go see this film. Go see this film.
Right, there was.
You know, opening night. I went on the first night just to see.
I went the first weekend.
I went the Friday it opened just to see, like, you know, people coming out. And it was sold out every show.
Yeah, it was sold out. Like,
the black community came out to support the film.
Yeah, definitely.
But the reality is, after they saw it, I think a lot of people were disappointed in the movie because I didn't hear much talk about it.
You know why? Because it came across more like a popcorn summer movie than it did a film.
Yeah,
it didn't have the Spike Lee quality to it.
It
when you see a Spike Lee movie,
it didn't have a serious storyline.
It didn't feel like a film. It felt like a movie. And that sounds like semantics, but Spike Lee has a quality about his work that feels like a film.
About his story.
Right.
You know?
This felt more, and maybe it was because it did have a lot of action in it as well. It had a lot of action
but
in
the
it.
Story was so loose and open
it felt like the story part of it felt it didn't feel unique enough. You had all of the formula for that.
It had formulaic elements, it had many holes in it.
Here's
one example, slightly predictable. Not to give it away, but
spoilers.
There's one character, it's not really a spoiler.
Spoilers.
There's one character in it, it's not a spoiler.
Spoilers.
It's not a spoiler. There's one character that is, he's supposed to be a drunk. He's supposed to be an alcoholic.
Right.
The captain, right?
Right.
But in my opinion, he never seemed drunk enough to me. Like, he never had, like, a fit of rage, like a drunken fit of rage.
Right.
Or he always looked super clean cut. Not like a real drunk dude who's, like, scruffy
right.
and drinking for breakfast. Like, he's not doing anything.
They didn't
that.
Make enough case of that. Messing up his like decision
yeah,
making.
Exactly.
You felt like his decision making wasn't because of the liquor, it was because he was just a dumbass.
Yeah, or because he was under stress.
Right.
In the
sky. Yeah,
like
yeah. Right.
They introduce him as an alcoholic, but they never explore that side of him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, why even introduce
it wasn't
that?
Dark enough. That part wasn't dark
yeah.
at all.
Why
it was
introduce
candy.
It? Or even like man, I'm just gonna go on this movie real quick. Even a relationship between like there's a black pilot and he finds a white female.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a relationship.
She was hot too.
She was hot. They have a relationship.
Hot Italian chick.
Yeah. Yeah. She was hot. They have a relationship, but they never really explore the racial issue
undertones
of
it.
Of them.
And that would have been perfect for the movie.
Right.
That would have been great.
Right.
Because that would have kind of set it, that would have showed you, that would have been, right. Deep.
You know,
that would have been too deep for the movie.
Right.
It showed
it's
you.
It's not explored.
It wasn't a deep movie.
It's like, that's what happened
it
in
was,
World War II.
It wasn't a deep movie, and that's what it was.
Yeah, very shallow.
And I think that is a great example that you just gave, because I think that speaks to the fact that the movie was dumbed down to be marketable.
Right. But at the same time, the flip side of that argument, and I was talking to somebody about this last week, was like, does every black movie have to be deep? Like, does it have to be deep because it's black? Like,
being black is deep, son.
And that's what I. And that was the result. Like, honestly, that statement right there was like what that conversation evolved into was like, yeah, because being black is kind of deep. Like, there's something to it that kind of like, I don't know, it resonates on a certain level where you come to expect certain things.
That should be the name of this podcast, Black is Deep.
That might be it right there. Black is deep. Black is black. Right, Q-Tip? But yeah, so it's like, does every black movie have to be deep? Like,
no.
Or does it?
But that's how, okay.
Was Blade deep?
That is the, you know what? That is the quintessential argument between Tyler Perry and,
Aaron Magruder?
No, Tyler Perry and Spike Lee. Spike Lee thinks every movie film should have a message and have a cultural message to it.
Right.
And, Tyler Perry feels like movies should just be for entertainment. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's just like, it's just a movie.
But I think Spike Lee's
they
issue,
both have very different takes on
what Spike Lee's issue is, though.
It's like
is
Langston
that,
Hughes versus. Anyway, that's like an old Harlem Renaissance argument between Du Bois and. Damn, I'm forgetting who else. But anyway, go ahead. I just took you back there, right?
Yeah, you did.
All right, no, go ahead.
I think Spike's major issue with Tyler Perry is that Tyler Perry introduces his audience to black stereotypes but doesn't explore them.
Mm-hmm.
The same issue with Red Tails. Like, you're introduced to certain themes, but you never get to the root of them. And I think that is what Spike has an issue with. The fact that you're presenting these things, but you're not really explaining them. You know? Whereas in a Spike film, when he introduces a character and a character has a flaw,
mm-hmm.
you get to explore why this character is flawed, where the flaw comes from. You know, you get a understanding of that flaw. You know?
Right.
So, like, for instance, in, like, Mo' Better Blues, Denzel Washington's character, like, he had some flaws about him, that he was a womanizer, yada, 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 etc. You know, he was all about his music. As a result of being all about his music, he wasn't about anything else but his music. And the rest of his life suffered. Like, so many other jazz musicians, like Miles Davis and so many others, their regular life suffered. But Spike Lee explores that. Where in a Tyler Perry film, it would have been a guy playing a saxophone. It would have been like, oh, you're real good at the sax. And you would never got an explanation as to why he's that good at the instrument.
Mm.
Booker T. Washington is a guy that
is it?
Used to beef with W.E.B. Du Bois.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Positive.
I'm over here on my iPad trying to figure this out. It's like an old college thing. Yeah, because one person
during Black History.
Yeah, because one person felt that W.E.B. Du Bois felt that everything you if you're an underrepresented race,
mm-hmm.
everything you do should have a message because you can't afford to not take that opportunity to uplift the race.
Right, and the whole the upliftment of the race, the talented tenth
right.
theory.
But then I guess someone like Washington felt that Booker T. Washington felt like if it didn't serve a purpose. Don't just do it just to do it, right? Like, if you're going to do it because it also, you know what I'm saying?
Booker
right.
T was more like,
utilitarian.
I'm going to prove myself through my actions and through my physical ability to work hard. And through that, we will learn skills.
Right. It's not about hammering a message. It's about doing what you're doing it well.
Exactly.
Right. So basically, he would be like the Tyler Perry. He would say, just because I'm just going to make movies and be successful.
Right.
And because my movies are good, they don't have to have a message in and of themselves.
Right.
They just need to be good movies. And I'm going to be successful.
Right.
And these actors are going to be successful. And that's going to uplift the race. Whereas a W.E.B. Du Bois would be like a Spike Lee. And Spike Lee was saying, you know, every movie has to have this underpinning or undercurrent of a racial message or show the injustice and have a strong message behind it to show you the injustices or the inequalities or.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you know, given this argument, I'm kind of glad that both extremes exist. At the same time, I wish there was more.
It's an eternal battle.
Yeah, but I wish there was more, like. You know, in addition to those are the extremes, but then there's so many like shows like on VH1, those, mm-hmm. all those reality shows that have black images that I feel are more on that Tyler Perry side, and not as many that are more on that Spike Lee side.
Right.
Like I feel like
it's definitely a definite imbalance.
The yeah, there's an imbalance of it. Yeah, that's the issue.
Right.
You know,
Tyler because
has
it's
the
not,
market flooded
because it's easier to be a Tyler than it is to be a Spike Lee.
Exactly.
Cause,
people hate explaining stuff.
Yeah, and people it makes people feel uncomfortable when you remind them of the injustices.
Right.
If you're not in the underrepresented group, it's like, oh,
right.
I'm trying to relax and be entertained, and you're over here telling me about the shit that my ancestors did that's fucked up, have done, or just things that are just fucked up in general. I might have nothing to do with it.
Right.
I just don't want to hear that right now.
Right. That's why Spike has issues, you know, with the studio also.
Right.
So,
anyway, that's why them two can't get along.
Right.
So, yeah. So, let's switch gears, though, because I feel like we got a little too knowledge god on these people.
You got to know the ledge.
Right. Exactly. We got too deep.
So, okay. So, a video premiered today.
Oh, word?
A big time video premiered today. A big time video. A really big time video.
That shit crack.
So the Negroes in Paris video.
Negroes in Paris.
Negroes in Paris video premiered today. Holy shit. That was the wrong drop, but it worked anyway. So the Negroes in Paris video premiere today.
Yes.
I don't know what my drop is for it, but what were your thoughts on it?
Oh, yeah, you had, yeah, yeah.
That shit cracked.
There you go. Yep. I was underwhelmed, and I'm in the minority because I actually just came from the barbershop, and I go to a barbershop in the most, one of the most hood areas in Atlanta, I will admit it. And I do it, I still do it even though I'm probably on a different economic level than the people in the barbershop because, like, it just, you know, I don't know, man. I like still, there's something interesting about going to a barbershop and having a dude come in and selling everything.
And you get the fresh
cut.
You
get, like, four people coming in selling, like, everything from socks
DVDs.
To DVDs to, like, burnt Xbox games to, like, coats and sneakers, but I just think I like to listen to the conversation.
Cats like the video.
One of the barbers was saying, oh, did you see that new
Negroes in Paris?
Yeah, did you see that video? And I was like, oh, yeah, I seen it, you know. But personally, I feel like, you know, it has that huge, like, seizure warning at the beginning.
Yeah, but it needs
It's not a bad video, and I don't want to sound like a hater, but to me it didn't. It didn't feel like I could, you know, I'm not going to try to download the HD version of it, you know.
Is the HD version of it?
It has to be.
I want it.
Yeah, you could rip that from YouTube and Vivo.
I'm just going to watch it on YouTube.
There's a browser plugin that you can get called, if you get the real player, there's a they have this browser plugin where any Flash video, you can rip it straight to your computer. In MP4 format.
Not that we support doing that.
Oh, no.
I would never do that.
No, but it exists.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought...
There's Firefox extensions that do that as well. So if you have Firefox...
On to the next topic.
This became the tech podcast.
I know, right?
There's Firefox extensions that can allow you to rip YouTube videos into MP4s.
I thought the video...
Search
was good. I mean, when I heard it was coming out yesterday, my homeboy let me know it was coming out yesterday, and I was like, I bet, I'm gonna look out for it. I saw it on Vivo, he hit me up. I was like, let me check it out. So I play it, and did you play it in full screen when you watched it?
Yes. What'd she order?
Fish fillet.
That shit cracked.
So I played it in full screen, not really knowing what to expect.
Yo, whip so cold.
This whole thing. I played it in full screen, and I was like, I was kind of amazed at just the use of edits to create a visually stunning, you know, video. Like, it's literally just concert footage.
Yeah. And I felt like some of it annoyed me, though.
I feel like they did a really good job of taking the concert footage and repurposing it into something, into actual, like, a decent video. That was my opinion on it. I liked it a lot. I went to the concert.
Okay.
So I know, you know, I knew what to expect in a video. And I just thought it worked well. What I didn't like was the fact that they didn't take time to say, you know what, let's make a dedicated video for this. They just were like...
Exactly. That kind of threw me off. But you know what? Some of the shots I didn't like. Because they have a series of shots in that video where they're literally cutting off the head, like half of the heads of Jay-Z and Kanye. Did you see those shots?
Cutting half the heads.
If you really look at it again, the way the shots are framed, you have like, it's almost like half their heads are actually in the frame. It's bugged out.
You're saying it's a bad shot?
It's a bad shot. Yeah, it's weird.
It's just the way they edited it. It makes it look cool.
They tried to make it stylish, but I think it's just a bad choice. But I don't know. But yeah, I think I like the video because I like the song. The song grew on me and I really do like the song, you know, right. Like it, I like how it just reminds me of like times when people didn't try so hard. Like I feel like they were in a studio and they were just like riffing off each other and just like some of the shit doesn't make sense, but it's just cool cuz it's random.
Right.
Like the fish fillet shit, like
right.
Cause some chick probably did order fish fillet one day with him. You know what I'm saying? Like some type of crazy shit like that, or it just rhymed. You know, like times when it was just okay to not have everything be uber
too deep.
Yeah, or not even yeah, not even, I wouldn't even say too deep, but like too planned out.
Right.
Like, you know, like it's a little element of freestyling.
It sounds very organic. Like they just kind of jumped in a booth and were just going at this crazy ass beat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is probably what it was. And I mean, it works out. I like the video. And I think also as someone who went to the concert, and a lot of people went to the concert, you see the video and the video brings you right back to being at that concert.
Oh, is that what it is?
Because they were doing that song like 9, 10, 12 times, 26 times.
Yeah. So I saw some comments on Brooklyn King. I think Shooters put a comment that like he was at the concert and they did it 4 times.
Yo, they did it more than 4 times when I went. So it's like,
damn.
Yeah, so they drove it home, and the video is pretty much, it takes you back to you seeing the concert, which I think has some value to it.
Hypnosis value.
Yeah, pretty much. So, it is what it is, man. I mean, the video's out. Check it out. It's visually stunning, if nothing else. So, yeah.
Yeah, so Shooter says at the Toronto show, they did it 3 times in a row.
They did it more than that. And at Atlanta, they did it at least, and that was like the second night, but they did it at least 7 times.
I think Kanye, Kanye ripped that song, man.
I think Kanye put this whole thing together.
Yeah. When that song breaks down,
yeah,
that's all Kanye.
Yeah.
You are now watching the throne. You are now watching the throne.
Yeah.
Don't let me get into my zone. That song peaks when Kanye is just doing Kanye.
It's very obvious that Kanye West has become the creative genius in that.
Yeah.
That little, you know, and Jay-Z's kind of riding his coattails. Mm-hmm. Like, Kanye created the concert. He created the concept for the album.
Mm-hmm.
He created the visuals. He probably was in the editing booth for that video.
Yeah, because if you look at the Watch the Throne, the concept of the album and the style of it, the marketing style, it looks like a direct extension from his last album.
Yeah, it's Kanye.
All the stuff that he was on when he was shooting the videos for that album.
Twisted Dark Fantasy, it feels like, yeah, part two.
That same Baroque art style, all that stuff is just like right there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obvious, but I mean, and there's supposedly there's a Watch the Throne 2, supposedly.
Really?
Yeah. Supposedly, so.
Mm.
We'll see. Anyways.
I want to see Kanye do something with the RZA, something crazy like that.
Like another collaboration with just some other random person?
Yeah, like a Gnarls Barkley type of deal.
Right.
Just Kanye with somebody like really super creative like the RZA, or somebody just random. Not Jay-Z though, because I don't think Jay-Z's a creative person. He's
like Kanye and like MIA or some shit.
Yeah. Something just left field. You know, like just to do it. Just doing it because you have money and it doesn't matter. You could just make an album. Like,
that's why I was hoping that like Kanye, Pharrell, and Lupe collaboration was
going
to happen.
That would have been hot.
Because
them three together could be some serious creative
energy. Would have been some, exactly. But I mean, supposedly Pharrell and Lupe are still going to do it, just without Kanye.
Lupe needs Pharrell because his beats is whack on the lasers.
Yes. Lupe over hot beats?
Lupe over hot beats is a problem.
Yes.
Yes.
That's why his mixtapes are always so hot, because he would take other people's hot beats
and he has message.
Yeah, rip.
He has delivery and message. He just doesn't have fucking beats. And production.
It makes no sense.
And Pharrell is a monster on productions.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's just gonna be hot. I'm looking forward to that.
But. So do they have any like release date for that?
Nah, I just saw an article saying that it was happening, like an early editorial piece, like a press release probably.
Right.
So we'll see. I mean, and also just like to extend this topic. So I mean, Jay-Z and Kanye are watching the throne, so they're at the top of their game. But I asked you this earlier, like, who's next? Like, who are the next, you know, Big Daddy Kane and like Jay-Z, like who's next in line, you know? I don't know. I mean, listening to the music out now, you have these young dudes.
It's whack, son. It's like fucking, it's desert. Like famine.
Yeah, it is.
It's famine out there, man.
Yeah, good music is few and far between. I can't even lie.
The creativity is lacking. It's everything, you know what it is? Everything is too commercially driven. Yep. It's a problem of focus. The focus is definitely not on art. The focus is on monetary gains.
I mean, yo, there's
some young cats. Like there's just it's until there's a shift in what's important to people, until money is not first and foremost. And I feel like even in this kind of economy, people are too hurting. I don't even know. I can't even say that, because in the 80s and 90s, people weren't doing so well, but they use that as an escape, you know? Music was the escape. I don't even know what it is, man. I just feel like And maybe it's just the time when the music has come, like, you know, now there's too much money in it for people to not to people don't want to resist, or upcoming artists can't resist the temptation of selling out anymore. Back in the days, they didn't even have the option of hardly to make the money, so they just did dumb anyway.
Right.
Now there's only that option of getting jiggy or blinging, so it's like, yo, I could just fucking, you know, do the commercial route, make my little pop, get my R&B hooks on, and then make my money. Back then, you know, it wasn't an option because rap wasn't taken seriously. So everybody was just like, I'm just rapping because I think this is cool on my block, you know?
I think there's some underground dudes that still have, you know,
integrity,
that just love the music.
Right.
You know, this dude Kendrick Lamar out of the West Coast, he's pretty nice. But yeah, there's a lot of cats that, in my opinion, just like throwaway music. Like, you hear it once, you may be like, oh, this is all right, and that's it. Like, I'm not listening to it no more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just listening to it to know what's out.
Right.
You know? But that shit is whack.
There needs to be a serious web underground movement.
I think there
web music underground movement, because there really is none. Because even the hip hop sites that I know, they're still.
You're saying there needs to be like a native tongue, but online.
Yeah,
like a group that's like, these are the dudes. They're underground. They're online. You can listen to it anywhere, and they're making that hot shit.
Or like just a place where you can listen to those types of like upcoming. I'm not attached to a label that's going to exploit me.
I mean, you got Dat Piff. Listen,
they have stuff on there, but
it's all mixtapes.
It's all mixtapes, and that stuff is all like past the verge of indie.
It's all over the place,
right?
Too.
Right.
It's not like it's anybody filtering the quality from the crap,
right? There's no curation. It's just like, this is what's out,
right?
So yeah. I don't know.
I mean, it is what it is, man.
Right?
So, anything else?
Man, I don't know, man. I just like leave people with this message. Like, I think we're wrapping the show. So, I really think, you know, if we had a segment and this segment was what our message is, we want to leave people with something to think about. I always feel like, you know, your body is so important, and I feel like just pay attention to what you eat, man, and pay attention to how you feel. I think what you eat and your outlook on things is so important. So I would just say, you know, don't fall into a negative outlook on life and things. Like, really try to repel negativity, and also be good to yourself. Make sure you're treating yourself well. Don't be afraid to eat good and exercise, because, you know, I think what the rewards you reap from that is exponentially better than what you put into it.
And I would say my message would be, there is good music out there. You just have to search for it. Don't let marketing fool you. Just because something isn't marketed doesn't mean it's not good.
Word.
So if you're really into something, go out there and look for it. And that's anything in life. If you really want to do it, just go out there and do it. Go look for it. It's out there. So I'm going to leave you with this track by Kendrick Lamar. Speaking of good music, check it out. It's called Kush and Corinthians. It's pretty dope.
Kush and Corinthians?
Kush and Corinthians.
Okay. Weed in the Bible.
Pretty much. Check, check, check.
Go ride to it, ride to it, cause you never know when a bullet might hit and you die to it, die to it, die to it, die to it. Live your life, live it right, be different, do different things, don't do it like he did, cause he ain't what you is, but we can win. Wait, let's get straight to the point, to the meaning of life. What's my purpose? Maybe this earth is ain't a good place to be. How far is heaven? Let's see. Is it in the clouds like they said it would be? I wonder when I die, will he give me receipts? I wonder with the eyes of the Lord, look at me, look at me, look at me. I'm a loser, I'm a winner, I'm good, I'm bad, I'm a Christian, I'm a sinner, I'm humble, I'm loud, I'm righteous, I'm a killer. What I'm doing, I'm saying that I'm human. Now people just ride to it, ride to it. Cause you never know when a bullet might hit. And you die to it, die to it, die to it, die to it. Live your life, live it right, be different, do different things. Don't do it like he did, cause he ain't what you is. But we can win. Wait, let's get straight to the point. It go 1, 2, 3, 2 in the front, 1 in the back seat, C. Looking for a victim of an AK-47, 100 round each. But why must we retaliate? Is it human nature? I don't know. I look for the answers later. Make a right, there they go. Sometimes gotta ride to it, ride to it. Cause you never know when a bullet might hit. And you die to it, die to it, die to it, die to it. Live your life, live it right. Be different, do different things. Don't do it like he did, cause he ain't what you is. But we can win, win, wait. Let's get straight to the point. As I hope in this book and then burn up some of this reef for my planets to figure out the world and escape all my demons. I'm dying inside, I wonder if Zion inside the heavens. A condom, a rolling chain, a fat blunt and a Mac 11. It's all I see in my life and they tell me to make it right. But I'm right on the edge of Everest and I might jump tonight. Have you ever had known a saint that was taking sinners' advice? Well, it's probably you. Am I right? If I'm wrong, you a fucking lie. When I lie on my back and look at the ceiling, it's so appealing to pray. I wonder if I'm just a villain dealing my morals away. Some people look in my face and tell me don't worry about it. I give them back their deposit. No money, just total silence. I'm running, they say I'm wildin'. The youngin' with lack of guidance. That's hundreds of us with problems. More money, more drugs and violence. Look at the soul of an out of control artist. That's dealing with life the hardest. That's all my life. But regardless, I'ma ride to it, ride to it. Cause I never know when a bullet might hit me. And I die to it, die to it, die to it, die to it. Live my life, live it right. Be different, do different things. Don't do it like he did, cause he ain't where I is. But we can't win. Wait, let's get straight to the point.
Yeah, life can please you, but death can tease you. Oh, the day Nico had that seizure, I lost one of my biggest believers. Oh, close steps make you think about your life, like if I had the same chance twice. What would I do different? I tell her I love her more, do more, but tease her by crying on that picture. Now when I'm done recording, swear I let the beat bang in her name. Make her shake her head in heaven, saying they get it again. Make them clouds turn to speak. Don't take too much smoke from the love being in the room with a people. Now my love like murking me. Family having surgeries. Hated that people the choose what they like to be under me. Lord, what kind of life this be? Mama, I just want the same. Mama said, according to get everything. You gotta risk everything. So I'm smoking my Kush, reading Corinthians. Smoking my Kush, reading Corinthians. Smoking my Kush, reading Corinthians. Oh, smoking my Kush, reading Corinthians.